Just give it to God and let the devil take the hindmost. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
This is Key Life with Steve Brown, a program designed to make a positive difference in your daily life. Now open your Bible and let's go to it. Steve?
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to the book of Jeremiah. We're looking at some extremes in the prophet Jeremiah. And I suggested at the beginning of this week that extremism in the right direction is an asset, and certainly so in the case of Jeremiah. Now, we've seen a couple of things about Jeremiah, an extremely personal and human ministry. We looked at a number of passages in Jeremiah to show that. And then yesterday, we were talking about an extremely deep love for God's people from the prophet Jeremiah, reflecting the deep love that God had for his people. I said that once we get to Lamentations, we'll see a lot more of this. But in the 29th chapter of Jeremiah, we saw yesterday how the whole theme changes, and there is a softness and a kindness in the message of Jeremiah that you don't find there up to this point. When God is so warm and kind in the message that Jeremiah gives, it's sort of like Hosea 11. When we get to Hosea, we'll look at it, where God is really angry, and then there's this change of poetry, and God says, but how can I give you up like, how can I give you up, O Israel? How can I treat you like Edmah, like Zeboim? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. And you get the same thing in Jeremiah. You think, boy, this guy sounds like he's not the same prophet I heard before. And we talked about that he got love from God, and he had to give it to his people. I remember the time that I started loving the people where I was the pastor. Messed up my ministry. That's right. I was doing fine until I loved them. And then when I started loving them, I started staying awake at night worrying about them all the time. I used to say from the pulpit, I'm not your mother. And the only reason I said that is because I knew inside that's exactly what happened. And I couldn't help it. Now, I ended yesterday's broadcast by telling you about a young lady who sat in the seat next to me as I flew back from New York. And then I ran out of time before I ran out of story. And that happens a lot of times to me. But she was quite liberal, but she was really sweet, and she was telling me things that 15 years ago I'd have gone ballistic over. I mean, I would have said, how can you say that kind of drivel? And I didn't do that. I found inside that I really liked her, that there was something going on, and found out that her grandmother was a Christian and her mom was a Christian, and she got kind of teary-eyed when she started talking about them. And I never once brought up the political stuff. And as I ended the broadcast yesterday, I was saying, you know, I said, Lord, where did that come from? And he said, it was from me. It was my love. It reflected my heart. And the more you hang around me, the more you get that. And then yesterday I mentioned, let me say a little bit more about it, that we have this idea that we'll use love as a methodology, and that way we'll win more people to Christ. And so we say, I don't love them. They drive me batty. I don't like what they say. I don't like what they think. However, I'll love them because I can't win them to Jesus if I don't love them. And so we learn to fake love, and they know. That's not it, guys. You can't fake it. You've got to go to him and have a genuine love for those to whom he sent you. And if you don't go. For so many years, I said, they can all go to hell, and I don't care. I don't know their names. I don't know anything about them. But here of late, God has given me a real love for those who don't know him. Jeremiah had that love, and Jeremiah is a good example of it. Now, let me show you one other thing. Just let me mention it today, because I'm going to get to some of these questions. But I want you to note, as you go through the book of Jeremiah, it's all over. You're going to find it everywhere. Where Jeremiah says over and over again, I have committed my way unto the Lord. You're going through a tough time right now. It really hurts. Committed to him. He's in charge. There's no perspiration on his upper lip. He's sovereign, and you can trust him. You know, there are times when I absolutely don't know what I'm going to do, and I worry. I panic. I panic about key life. I panic about finances. Last year was an awful year, and I thought, you know, we're not going to make it. We did. And so I'm learning as I get older to say, Lord, I don't understand this. I have a tendency to want to jump off a bridge right here, but I'm just going to commit it to you, and I'm going to go get a coat. May go read a novel or go to a movie or spend some time with a friend. I'm going to leave it with you. I'm going to place it on the altar, and I want you to give me the grace to trust you. Abraham Lincoln used to say, I have sometimes been driven to my knees with the overwhelming sensation that there was no other place to go. Maybe you're there. Listen to me. You can trust him. When you don't have any other place to go, just give it to him and go get a coat. You think about that. I'm in. Well, we spend some time at the end of the Wednesday broadcast answering some questions, and then my pastor comes in on Friday, and we answer some questions together, and he'll be in on Friday if everything works out the way we have planned it. But I do want to answer some of these questions. We love to get your questions, by the way, but you have to write them down. Don't use the 1-800-KEY-LIFE number for questions. Now, you can get the booklet we're offering, you can get the catalog free, you can get the magazine free, you can get Key Life Dates free, but you got to write your question down. We get thousands of these, and we believe that the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. And if you want an answer, write it down. You can send it, you can email it, steve@keylife.org, but with your regular mailing address. Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. Our Key Life in the States, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. You always get an answer from me or on the broadcast or in the magazine or from a staff person. Well, let's dig into this. This is two questions, one from Ohio and one's an email, and the staff person wrote, you may want to answer the next two together. How can I know God's will? We get that a lot. And then the one from Ohio, how do I know whether or not something is God's calling on my life? You know what I think? And, you know, I could go into the list of how to know God's will. You know God's will primarily from Scripture. Sometimes you know God's will through your brothers and sisters in Christ. Sometimes you know God's will by the affirmation of God's people, if it's a particular gift or a particular ministry, a particular calling. If you think God has called you to be a leader amongst his people, and you're the only one who thinks that, he probably didn't call you. God often speaks to us as a bunch and not to just one. So if you have a vision and you think God has told you something and nobody agrees with you, it's probably not God's will. Sometimes God does speak to us individually and personally for something specific in our lives. And those are ways you could look at your own proclivities, the natural gifts you have. We have this idea that if I can't balance my checkbook, God's going to make me the church treasurer. Well, he could if he wants to, but he usually doesn't do that. And then there's common sense. Use some common sense. God didn't give you that for no reason. But with all of that being said, and frankly, all of that is quite helpful, but we've spent far too much time worried about what God's will on our life is. Jesus said, if any man's will is to do his will know. And the will of God is your sanctification. So stay close to him. Don't worry about it. You ought to plan. You ought to be reasonable about setting goals. You ought to be fairly balanced about how you conduct your life. Don't spend all night worrying about is this God's will or is this not God's will. Do as you like. And if your heart is right, God will fix it. He'll let you know he's not in the business of keeping his will from you. And that has to do with God's will in our life all the time. Don't be so uptight about it. Do specifically what the Scripture says to do, and don't do what the Scripture says don't do, and then what do they say, chill out on it. And then the other one was a little bit bigger from Ohio, whether or not something is God's, whether or not God's, this is God's calling on my life. Let me tell you something, if it's God's calling in your life and it's really big, you're not going to be able to sit there. I mean, you're just not, it's woe to me, Paul said, if I preach not the gospel. I feel that way. You know, the greatest gift in my life is I get paid for teaching the Bible. But if I didn't get paid, I'd still do it, because I couldn't not do it. One of my kids said, you know, my father, all he does is preach. That's true. I mean, that's who I am. That's how God made me. I can't stop. And when God puts a calling on your life, you're just not able to get away from it. I tried, man. I did the disc jockey thing. I was quite good at it. I made a lot more money than I ever made preaching. I liked it better, to be perfectly honest with you, but I couldn't get away from this thing. And if that's how you know God's calling on your life. But even there, don't be so uptight about it. Do what you need to do, and leave it up to God. I'm glad I don't have a lot of time, because the next question is quite controversial, and I'm going to offend everybody. This is from Pennsylvania. What do you think about the revivals, Toronto and Brownsville, for example? I don't think about them at all. It's not my ministry. Man, I don't know. I don't know whether it's of God or whether they're ugly and their mother dresses them funny. But I've decided to be the way Gamaliel was in the book of Acts when he spoke about the apostles after they had been arrested. He said, you know, this could be of God. And there's a thunderstorm outside. Well, I didn't say that, but this is the idea. And there's a thunderstorm outside. And frankly, when all things are considered, I don't want to be on the other side from God. And that's kind of the way. I don't know. I think there's some funny stuff that goes on. I listen to Hank Hanegraaff. He's a friend of mine. I like him. And he's been given that ministry to speak that. But I have friends that are involved in that. And they're that way too. It's not my thing. I don't know. Just don't know. How's that for a great age? But it'll offend everybody. But I gotta go, so I don't have time to fix it. Hey, listen, whenever you write or call, would you be sure and give us the call letters of this great station? And listen, don't forget to check out our webpage, www.keylife.org. You're gonna like it a lot. And one other thing, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.